Welcome to Moon Harbor Heroes. Today's issue is Cataclysm Crew, issue 93, Laura in the Sky with Diamonds. On the cover, Max, Amber, and Squire stand in a digital field of red pixels, facing away from the reader. In front of them, the towering face of a young woman looks down at them. Her expression is largely indiscernible, but there is definite intensity in her eyes. We turn the page and our story begins. This issue opens on the training room in C4. We haven't had a classic Amber-Max training session in a very long time. So can each of you give me like a couple panels of what your training routine looks like?
I have to suggest it starts off the way most of our classic training fights do, with a raccoon flying directly at Amber.
Oh, hell yeah.
Is it Squire or a robo-raccoon?
I think the first panel is Squire, and then the next three panels are the three robo-raccoons in quick succession after Squire. And then we get a panel of, like, all four raccoons, arms extended, flying straight at Rebel Rouser.
Fantastic. And Rebel Rouser, how do you avoid, deflect, whatever the case may be?
Okay, so this is going a bit silly. I think Amber ducks down, like, so that way they just start to, like, go over her, and she, like, reaches out to grab, she reaches out towards their shadows on the ground, specifically for their tails, just to try to, like, grab them all by the tail, by the shadow, and just, like, stop it.
I think you just do that.
And I think we get Max from the other side of the room yell, "Awesome!" And then Squire, like, the three robo-raccoons are scrabbling, trying to get away, but Squire reaches a paw up for a high five.
I will absolutely high five Squire.
Perfect. And as is the custom with a training montage, Amber, you now get to, like, direct an attack. So what does that look like?
I mean, I've got all these raccoons by their shadow tails. I'm going to open a shadow portal in front of them and yeet them into it. And the portal, the other side of the portal is behind Max.
I believe you mean jeet them into it.
You are correct, jeet them.
So as you're about to throw them into this shadow portal, and like they're like right about to hit the shadow portal stops being shadowy and just turns into that red static that we've seen a couple times with Rebel Rouser. And, like, all four of them go through it, like, easily on the other side. But the three robo-raccoons stop working. Like, just, like, as if they're, like, hit with an EMP, just completely non-functional.
And I think Max is just dead stare shock at seeing this change and gets hit in the back with all four of the raccoons. And it's just, like, we get, like, the banging of them hitting the ground, and Max, like, "Oh, ow, ooh," and then just runs over. "Are you okay? What was that?"
I'm not sure. Something like this has happened a few times, and she goes, like, turn around to check on the raccoons and looks at, like, the short-circuiting robo-raccoons. It's like, "Oh, that's not great. I'm sorry about the robo-raccoons."
It's fine. Vixen will replace him. But are you okay? What do you mean it's happened a few times? When did this start?
A few months ago? I don't know. It's like, it's happened like a few times for just a bit. And like, I went to go like check on the ship in VR, and like the ship wasn't there. And like, we've had so many other problems on our plate. So I just kept, you know, procrastinating it. Also, I have no idea what to do about it.
And you didn't tell me?
I mean, I was kind of just trying to forget it and make myself forget it, too. I'm sorry, Max.
You know, I understand that. We've both done that before, but I don't think it's ever worked out for us.
Yeah, if you just don't talk about it and ignore it, then it's not a problem, right?
I think I'm gonna like glance over at the wall where we have like where we hang jackets and such, and there's like a hoodie of Al's hanging there. And it's like, look back at Amber and like, well, let's figure this out. Is it the suit? Have you talked to Dante?
I don't think it's the suit. It's like the red pixely stuff from like the ship VR.
And the ship's gone?
Yeah, I mean, that's the I think it's connected to that. I just don't know what's happening, what to do about it.
All right, so this may shock you, but I think what we need to do is ask someone for help.
Okay, who would know anything about weird Asteron glitchy stuff?
Oh, I don't have that answer. I just thought you'd be impressed with that character growth. We can figure it out. Maybe something in your dad's files? We're pretty good at making new friends.
Maybe it's... They're 15 years old, and I don't know if we had any contact with Asterons before then.
Amber, would you like to read your files and see if you have any research on it?
Sure.
All right, go ahead and read those files.
Okay, that is a plus superior. Cool.
Oh, before you read those files, I want to tell you how awesome and superior you are.
That is a 7. So on a hit, tell the team one important detail you've learned from your studies. The GM will tell you what, if anything, seems different from what you remember. Okay, so I think maybe 2 decades ago or so was when Moon Harbor first had contact with the Asterons. I think they just, like, they landed, like, talked a bit, like, had, like, a, just, like, a trade, like, oh, well, like, here's some of our tech and here's some for you. Just like get to know each other, cultural exchange.
Yeah, that is exactly right. The one thing that has changed, actually not has changed, one thing that you didn't see in the files too, you're looking a little bit closer. The people who were originally involved in that tech 2 decades ago, like that exchange of tech, look super familiar because they are representatives from Monarch Power.
God damn it.
God damn it. Is it too late to go back on the asking for help plan?
We can't just ask Monarch, man. We don't have the best... We don't have a good relationship with them at all. I mean, what if we, like, just go over there, like, sneakily and, like, break into their files or something?
You know, I still think... Enough people know me there because of my parents that maybe we can get in and talk to these people without my uncle noticing us.
We can try. We're not going to get anywhere if we talk to your uncle, though.
Yeah. Last time I saw him, Clara plunged him through a wall, and I laughed a lot.
Yeah, we're not going to get anywhere if Monarch Man is there.
With that, we turn the page, and we see you all approaching Monarch Power. There is notably, like, a fair bit of construction, and, like, you can see, like, flashing yellow lights coming from one of the windows upstairs, probably because someone did get punched through, like, 7 walls through, like, multiple laboratories and such.
I think in this opening panel, Max is just standing there looking up at this, giggling. It's like, it's still funny. My plan is basically to just walk in and act like I'm supposed to be there. And hope enough people recognize me as Max, who used to go in there to see my parents, and just walk to where these people's office is.
If you're confident enough, you can really, like, just walk into most places.
That's the plan.
I think, like, Amber says that, and then there's, like, a panel where both of them just immediately, like, they had been, like, kind of, like, hunched over bad posture, they just immediately straighten up.
Delightful.
And we follow you all into the lobby. And... generally, it goes off kind of without a hitch. Like, the people in the lobby, like, the secretary in the lobby, just kind of nods his eyes at you and just, like, smiles. But it doesn't really seem like you're drawing much attention.
I think it's working.
Let's just keep walking. All smiles.
So these 2 Monarch Power staff members. So, yeah, this is Joyce Lopez and Michael Marino, and they are on the, like, 4th floor. Which is where all the construction is. And there are signs, like, advising where the new offices are. So you have to go up to the 6th floor. But again, no one really stops you on the way. And you get to this new temporary office for Dr. Lopez and Dr. Marino.
I'm going to walk in, hold the door for Amber, and then close the door behind us.
Yeah, I will walk in. I think, like, as Amber is passing by Max, like, they share a look, just like, this has been really easy. Things don't just go easily for us.
Yup.
Dr. Lopez is standing around, like, a robotic body. They don't recognize you, but the three tech kids are in this group of middle schoolers.
Oh, God.
And Dr. Lopez looks up and she's like, I'm sorry, can I help you?
We have some questions, but we can wait till you're done.
Yeah, we can wait till the field trip is moved on. Is this a field trip? Oh, God.
And she looks up and she smiles and she's like, oh, this isn't actually a field trip. This is a, we got a new like junior pilot program. So this is an after school program for these kids, teaching them about like robotics and such. But we should be wrapped up in about 45 minutes. Do you want to stay for the presentation for a little while?
I think Amber just looks at Max, just like eyebrows, like raised, eyes wide, like, do we?
Big shrug. I'm not sure what else we do.
Sure.
Dr. Lopez smiles very broadly and kind of just like gestures for you all to like come and like stand over the robot. And she's just showing off some of the like electrical components of it, showing off some of like the pistons and the joints, the hydraulics, that kind of situation there. This is clearly like an older robot, like a little bit like probably like 80s, 90s. It's pretty basic. You all have seen like high-tech robots in action.
We've met Anagram.
You've met Anagram. This is not that. Are you all approaching the robot there? Are you hanging back?
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, I think like hanging slightly back, but yeah, approaching the robot.
Cool. And Dr. Joyce has this whole like presentation where she like has kids like push down on one of the levers, like one of the pieces of the hydraulics. So like the arm lifts in the inside. And she's like showing like how the pieces connect. And like, if you push this piece down, this piece moves. It's actually a pretty cool presentation. And at one point she's like, she turns to the two of you. She's like, would either of the two of you like to give it a try?
Hey, robots are kind of your thing. And I nudge Amber.
And Amber like looks at Max with like that, this like look at her, just like, it's just like, you just saw what happened the last time I touched technology.
Oh, right.
We're good. Thanks though.
She kind of like looks quizzically at you, but immediately like smiles. Dr. Lopez is kind of brilliant and also a really good teacher. So she's not like letting her like curiosity show right now. But the rest of the presentation does kind of go off without a hitch. And then she dismisses the students, closes the door behind them, and then turns to you and she's like, all right, so what can I help the two of you with?
So you were there for, like, was it like 20 years ago? You met up with some Astrons and had like a bit of a trade with them. We were here to ask a bit about that.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I did work on that program there in, what was that, 2003, 2002? What questions did you have?
I mean, did you all examine any of the, like, Astron technology? Do you have any, like, notes about it?
She kind of grins, and she's like, well, I did write my dissertation on it, but I doubt you want to read a 192-page academic paper.
No, I do.
She smiles and she's like, let me get my laptop. And she like goes over to like her bag in the corner of the room and pulls out a laptop and opens it. And she's like, okay, what is your email? I don't actually need you to make up an email for Amber right now if you don't want to.
Yeah, I think she just gives like back when she still attended school like a normal teenager. They like made them all sign up for like school emails. So she just gives that one.
She smiles and she's like, oh, excellent. Moon Harbor High is a great school. Yeah, I can absolutely email that on over. And she like clicks some buttons and sends it over. Did you have anything more specific to ask about that? Or were you just eager to read dissertations?
Both. Yes. I was wondering if you have encountered any like red pixelation in any Astron technology?
She kind of blinks and then starts typing in her computer and like pulls up a small video file. And she's like, so in the days of the research, the Astron technology interfaced a little bit strangely with our technology. Is this the kind of red pixelation that you're talking about? And she shows like a screen, like a screen recording of the computer, like a previous recording of essentially a file being opened. And then the, like the same red pixelation that you've been seeing like spreads out across the whole screen just for a moment and then disappears.
Yeah. Yeah, like that.
So based on my research, that happens when Astron technology, which is semi-sentient, interacts with an unfamiliar technology or an unfamiliar organic material. Astron technology, they have a tendency to corrupt and also overtake what they are working with. It's kind of like an invasive species. Most technologies don't have firewalls built to stop it because it is semi-sentient, so it just overtakes the technology it's working with. And we've seen evidence that does the same with organic hosts.
Did you happen to find a way to stop it at all?
We didn't find a way to stop it, but we did find a way to negotiate with it. It essentially just, we needed to figure out what it wanted and why it wanted to take over the technology. And there were definitely a few computers that we had to take off network and just leave in storage somewhere because they were infected by Astron tech that didn't really have a goal, just wanted to overtake things. But for the most part, they want something. They're not just there to mindlessly destroy.
Well, I guess that's good news.
Yeah. How did you like go about negotiating with them? Like, how did you communicate?
I mean, we essentially just typed in messages back and forth, that kind of situation. It was mostly laptops and computers in the network, so it was a lot of just typing messages to them, and they'd respond in text as well. May I ask why the curiosity?
They, I just found some Astron technology and tried to put it in my laptop, and it's been acting a bit funny, so I just was curious.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely understand the curiosity. I would recommend going into your, just like a general, open up a document or something like that, and most Astron tech will be able to respond pretty quickly there. I mean, negotiating with it as with an organic host is a little bit more tricky. From what I can tell, it seems like the best way to do that is to like talk to it in a trance space or to get it to a situation where it will willingly leave the host and go somewhere else to communicate back and forth. So, yeah. But with a laptop, it should just be easy. Just message back and forth. And if worst comes to worst, I mean, everything's stored on the cloud. So just get the laptop completely wiped and just start fresh and just grab all the files you need from the cloud.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much.
No problem. It's always nice to meet young people who are interested in science. That's kind of my passion nowadays. I used to be really in the field, but now I just kind of focus on education and outreach. So I'm happy to help.
Yeah, and I'm really happy to read this dissertation when I leave.
Great. If you have any questions, I mean, you have my email now, so just feel free to email back, or if you want to get coffee or anything, let me know.
Yeah, sure.
And she looks down at her watch and she's like, I'm so sorry. I have a dinner appointment. So if you'll excuse me, I'm going to head out for the day. But I do need to lock up this lab behind me, so I'm going to have to ask you all to head out.
Yeah, we can go.
So we turn the page and cut over to C4. You now have a printed out dissertation that is, again, 192 pages, which looks less significant when it's printed out. I mean, it's a lot of paper, but it's also like not as thick as you think a 192 page dissertation would be.
I think the first thing we hear Max say is, so wait, for you, are we following the rules for organic or tech? Because you're like half laptop, right?
I'm more like human live current.
Yeah, but like, hold on. I think I grabbed my tablet and just handed it to you. I'm like, can you like talk to it through that. Just, I don't know, do your reach in. I don't know how your stuff works.
I mean, I can try. And I think Amber will open the tablet and pull up like the notes app and just type in like, you there, Asteron, in my head.
Go ahead and unleash your powers to see if we can overcome this obstacle here.
Okay. That's a 5.
Perfect. The tablet in your hand just becomes entirely red pixels and then shuts off.
I'm sorry, Max. I keep breaking your stuff.
It's... Vixen will buy me a new one. It's fine. I don't know if that means I was right or wrong.
I mean, I was thinking maybe of going back into the VR headspace.
Maybe it'll show up this time?
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe if, like, I tried talking to it there, because, like, that's where we could see the ship. And also, like, last time I didn't know that there was anything, like, in my head, so I didn't know to ask. It's worth a shot.
Okay. Want me in there with you?
I would love that.
And we see the two of you put on the VR headsets and appear in that VR world. It's a little bit different than the last time you were in there. Actually, very different from the last 2 times you were in there. This time, there is a pixelized version of Moon Harbor. Like, almost photorealistic, except everything is made of red pixels. Of just, like, it drops you just in, like, in the middle of the city square.
Oh, this is new.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Asteron in my head, or Asteron Tech, if you could, like, come out and talk here, that'd be really cool.
And a pixelized version of you appears in front of you, Amber, again, made of red pixels. And she just kind of looks at you and she's like, hello, Amber.
Hi.
I see you've got my message.
Yeah, I don't exactly know what it meant, but I'd love to talk.
Excellent. That's all I wanted as well. And she kind of blinks, and then suddenly Moon Harbor is gone, and we see the C4 living room, including, like, pixelated versions of, like, your other teammates. And, like, they're just kind of, like, walking around, kind of like character, like, NPCs in a video game. Like, they're not interacting with you unless you interact with them, but they're just, like, milling about the space. And pixelated Amber sits in your spot on the couch, Amber.
I don't like this.
And she looks up at you and she's like, so I assume you have questions?
Yeah, a couple. I guess we could start with what is it that you want?
Cutting right to the chase, I appreciate that. I, for lack of a better word, want this. And she kind of gestures around herself at the room there.
Friends?
Yes, ideally. And then she kind of pauses and she's like, I'm sorry, that sounded cryptic. I don't want your life specifically. I just want life.
I mean, maybe we could work on, like, building you a body?
Building, obtaining, however you'd like. I mean, I am not really particular on how I get to have this, but I have seen some incredible and some terrible things through your eyes since you first came to talk to me, and I would like to experience it.
Oh, yeah, hi, Ship. Yeah, there's been a lot of fucked up stuff.
She actually smiles at you, and she's like, my name is LR4, but I think I'm going to start going by Laura.
Nice to meet you, Laura.
It is nice to meet you as well, Amber. And you too, Max.
And I think this whole time, Max has been, like, in the background, like, poking at and talking to the Lucy projection, and he waves, nice to meet you.
And when you speak to the Lucy projection, it, like, says phrases that you've heard Lucy say before, but again, very, like, NPC-esque, like, no matter what you respond, Lucy responds with whatever the next thing she said in that conversation.
I have a good bit that I'm setting up.
Perfect. And she looks at the two of you and she's like, now, here's where this conversation gets a little bit less pleasant. I very much want to experience being a human, and I very much would like to do that sooner rather than later. So, Amber, unfortunately, that does mean that the longer you wait, the more I'm going to corrupt. It started with your powers and your dreams, but I am willing to move to more extremes if I have to.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't realize what any of that meant, but I know now, so I can actually start on that.
I know you're new to the planet, but we have this thing called talking. We use our words.
She looks up at you and she says, neither of you two do that.
She's kind of got us there.
Yeah, I think Max's reaction is that, like, pointed finger and then, like, yeah. We're getting better.
I mean, like, I'm good with tech. Like, I could build you a robotic body, like, and try to make it, like, as, I guess, like, not, like, as human as possible, but, like, as passing as possible. Like, we could do, like, a team up. I don't know if you want to help design it at all. Like, you could, like, actually pick out what you want to look like.
She smiles, and she's like, that actually sounds lovely. Though I'm not sure that your technological skill is necessarily going to be able to create the kind of experience I'm looking for.
What kind of experience are you looking for?
I mean, I would like the human experience. I would like to be able to age and to be injured and to, on an impulse, dye my hair knowing that it's going to grow back.
Since Astron Technology is sentient, would trying to combine those in any way possibly do anything with that?
I do think that that would likely be a positive outcome. But to do that, you'll have to find ways to connect your tech to ours. And unfortunately, I don't have any technology on my side that makes that possible. Based on the research that I've done, there are several people who have incorporated Astron Technology into their repertoire of tools.
Yeah, like, I just got a whole, like, 190-page dissertation on it.
Yes, Dr. Lopez might be a good person to talk to, but I do think that that would be an ideal solution there.
Would you be willing to slow down the corruption if we take a bit longer with it? Not in, like, trying to make you wait, but to make sure you get the body that you want, since trying to go fast at it, I think, will not make it anywhere near as good as you want.
She kind of sighs, and she's like, my code will continue corrupting. I can slow it down to its natural course, but I don't think I can stop it completely. Granted, I have had it on an accelerated pattern, so we could have this conversation, but I can slow it back to its normal speed. That'll give you about a week.
Oh, that soon. Okay, cool. Great.
I've seen you do more in less time. When your friend Ben was having all of his issues, you leapt to assist him. And with your friend Lucy's prophecy. So just make this a priority like you would have made their issues.
Yeah, I could do that.
And she looks between the two of you and she's like, well, I'm glad that we had this conversation. It was nice to re-meet the two of you.
Yeah, nice to have this talk. I'm going to get started reading this dissertation. I'll start, like, drawing up maybe some sketches of designs. And I guess I can come back into the helmet with, like, some of these. Try to, like, help you, like, include you in this design process.
Excellent. And I mean, I do have the option to create in here. So if you bring me general ideas, we can sketch them out together.
Yeah, that would be pretty fun.
She smiles and she's like, I do think that the concept of fun is one of the more enjoyable parts about being human. So yes, fun.
When we get out of VR, I think Amber would immediately go to do what she just said, like get through this dissertation, like having that up on a screen and like also like getting out some like paper to scribble out ideas.
Excellent.
I have a character question because I need to figure out how to feel in character.
Mm-hmm.
How difficult of a task do I think this is in character? Because I don't know how to gauge it at all. So I don't know how Max would feel right now.
It's a pretty big task. Getting a body that can age and like is essentially a human. Robotics have come a long way. There's not a lot of research or information on creating robotics that are lifelike in that capacity.
I came away from that with the impression that this is essentially an impossible task in a week to create like technology that's never existed. So I wasn't sure how I'm supposed to be feeling.
That's kind of where I think I'm leaning, is like this is this is a very, very difficult task. So I'm actually going to pull up the Doomed playbook because I'm going to treat this, getting this body ready, like a sanctuary move. When you call upon the resources of your sanctuary to solve a problem, say what you want to do. In this case, I think we want to create a body to put Laura in a week's time. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Excellent. I'll go through a couple of the options here. You will have to obtain some sort of body to start with. It would take a lot of time to build a robotic frame. So like you will need some sort of like frame with basic mechanisms, a like already mobile robotic body. So you will need to obtain that. You will need help from a master roboticist. So somebody who knows a lot about robotics or has information on engineering, somebody who can help you look into this. And you and your team will risk danger from monarch power.
God damn it.
Because Dr. Lopez definitely did mention this to probably Dr. Marino, but like word has spread through monarch power that there were some kids here looking into the Astaron technology.
Cool.
So yeah, where do you all want to start with this?
Well, so I was thinking maybe doing a good old read the files to see if my dad's files have anything on like a master roboticist, since I don't really want to go back to monarch power. And then I have an idea about the shell, but I definitely want to like get a name to go to first.
Perfect. All right, go ahead and read those files.
That is a 9. There was back when my dad like kept these files, there was a master roboticist who worked with the MMM, like I think like as a like a contract basis. Oh god, do I have to come up with a name? Oh no. I think this person's like big thing was like creating like new and wacky kinds of robots to like do their villainous activities. Just like, okay, this is a completely weird robot that nobody would have expected. Okay, gonna do a new thing. I need something else wilder. So a very like experimental master roboticist.
Perfect. One thing that you have learned, and not from the files, actually, you just like remembered this. That master roboticist, Dr. Septimus. Dr. Septimus was just brought on as a full-time employee with the MMM.
Okay, cool.
So like while your dad is still technically a contractor, though basically has just been working with the MMM, this person is a full-time employee now. Other thing you've learned, since working for the MMM, which started about like right after the Saber takedown did, there hasn't been any notes of like wacky robotics. So whatever he's working on, it is something different.
Okay, so I was looking through because we need a robot person who's definitely not a monarch power. There's a Dr. Septimus with the MMM, did pretty experimental robotics a couple decades back. Should we go talk to them?
Yeah, I mean, the MMM generally likes us, as long as we're not throwing things at them. Maybe we can get their help.
Yeah, like as long as we don't bring a motorcycle, we'll be fine.
It's big old grid.
So how are you guys going to track down the MMM?
I mean, Amber could just like ask her dad.
Yeah, that's totally fair. So you calling him, you texting him, how are you communicating with your dad?
I'll call. It's probably been a bit, so I should probably call, like, be a good daughter.
Fantastic. And he answers on, like, the second ring, and he's like, Amber, hi.
Oh, hi, Dad.
How are things?
They're a bit chaotic. I was actually wondering if I could stop by the MMM later?
Sure. Is Alan coming? Bruce was mentioning that he's been missing him a lot.
Just me and Max. Alan's been really busy lately. I haven't seen him in a while. Tell Bruce I'm sorry.
Will do. I'll text you the address.
Cool. See you soon.
And you get the address a moment later. It is like an apartment building with an apartment number listed on there. In like the richer area of town. This is like a like luxury apartment complex.
MMM making moves, stepping up.
And we turn the page and see you all at the front of this apartment building. When we said this was a luxury apartment, this is like luxury, luxury. Like this makes Lighthammer's apartment look like a shack. This place, like the entire like outside of it is like gold plated. It is like Art Deco, very, very shiny and bright, and think Great Gatsby, but 2021's Great Gatsby.
Oh, wow. This will be... very curious who picked this place out, and who did this decorating?
I bet I could get a motorcycle here if I really tried, like looking down the hallway.
I don't know if we would ever be able to pay for that.
And as you say that, the door opens and Amber, your dad, is standing there. And he's like, Amber, Max, would you like to come inside?
Yeah.
Step in.
So as you all enter this apartment, it is very clear that like, while there is an apartment number, this apartment, like the MMM headquarters is probably like a third of this building.
Oh, sweet.
Like there are stairs between multiple levels of floors. The floor that you're currently on, like the next floor up, has been completely removed. So like it's like a double tall room in here. And like there is a armed guard at the front of the apartment. It is just very nice in there. And like looks kind of like an office, but also kind of like a place where people live. And just this like over the top villainous lair. But in, like, the Lex Luthor-y kind of way.
Oh, I like the new digs.
Yeah, what an upgrade. Good for you. Or, like, good for, like, all of you.
The mobster decided he was tired of slumming it, so he invested.
It's a good investment. This place looks awesome.
Thank you. So you were coming to see us? See someone particular?
Yeah, we were really looking to talk with Dr. Septimus.
How do you know Dr. Septimus?
Okay, so when you got arrested way back, I'd kind of like gone back to the apartment at one point, and I may have downloaded. Went to your office, and I downloaded all of your files, all of them.
Oh, okay.
We've got squatter's rights on those. They're legally ours now.
He smiles at Max and he's like, I mean, as far as like rule of thieves go, you stole it, it's yours. So that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, they've been really helpful. Also, like that was a while ago.
Yeah. So what do you need Dr. Septimus for then?
We have a robotics project and we would really like to consult with them.
a robotics project for school.
Dad, when was the last time I went to school?
Yeah, I had to like hold back a snorting laugh in the background.
He looks between the two of you and he's like, okay, we're going to talk about education after this because superheroing is no excuse to give up a perfectly good education. However,
we were on the wanted list.
You are no longer on the wanted list, are you?
Yeah, but we missed like months of school. I was thinking maybe I could like, what if I get my GED?
Okay, that would be an acceptable alternative. Regardless, Dr. Septimus is in the lab downstairs, and they should be able to help you with any, all robotics questions you have. And he gestures towards like one of the three staircases leading down. He's like, that staircase will lead you down to the correct lab. Don't go to the other two, they go to different floors. For security purposes, having only two entrances in and out was more helpful there. So yes, that staircase there will take you to the right floor.
Cool. Thanks, Dad.
No problem. It was good to see both of you.
Good seeing you, Chaseless.
Yeah. Now that I know where you are, I should like probably stop by more.
I wasn't going to say that, but it would be nice to see you a little bit more. But regardless, I am not here to guilt you. I'm here to assist with your robotics project. So go on downstairs.
Okay, thanks. I'm immediately going down the stairs. Like, we are on a time crunch.
Yeah.
And you all head downstairs. Dr. Septimus's lab is kind of exactly what you picture as, like, evil scientist laboratory. And Dr. Septimus is kind of what you picture as, like, classic evil scientist. Like, thick goggles that are so thick, like, you can't see their eyes behind it. Wild, wiry, curly hair that just, like, sticks up off their head. Lab coat. They really lean into the aesthetic.
Oh, hell yeah.
And as you, like, come down the stairs, you just hear this, like, loud cackling. Like, it covers up, like, three or four panels.
Please tell me. It's, like, the whole, like, mwahahaha.
Oh, absolutely.
You gotta respect someone who respects the traditions.
Yeah, I feel like we haven't had, like good, like, classic villains in a while. Like, this is a good aesthetic.
Yeah.
And as you all, like, open the door into the lab, you hear them yell, "It's alive."
Yes.
And as you look into the room to see what is alive, they are sitting on a table with a video game system in their hand.
Oh my god.
And just like frantically playing a game. So much that they don't even look up and they're like, "Hi, yeah, what do you want?"
Hi, Dr. Septimus. I'm Amber. Probably know my dad, Traceless. This is Max. We need some help with a pretty big robotics project. Maybe you'd be interested.
They kind of gesture for you to keep talking. They don't look up from the video game, but they just like wait for you to continue.
Yeah. So I guess to sum it up, there is some Astron technology that is in my head, and she would love to have a body. And I don't particularly want her to have my body. So we were thinking maybe we could make her a robot body. She would really like it to be like as organic as possible. Like if we could really try to make it as human as we could, like hair that grows, like able to feel like senses. And like also it needs to be able to mesh with Astron technology.
They pause the game and look up. And they're like, "That is certainly a challenge I was not expecting. Okay." And they put the video game down, and way quicker than a human should be able to move, they're like very close to you, like looking into your eyes and ears and like studying you, Amber.
She'll just like stand there and just like up, like still and just accept it. She knows how tech nerds get.
Yeah, this is very like Entrapta meets Doc Ock. Like, that's kind of the aesthetic I'm going for with this character.
It's great.
And they finally pull away and they're like, "So, a few questions." And they just start firing off questions. Like, how did the tech get into you? How did you communicate with the technology? And just, like, firing questions off, probably faster than you can answer.
Probably not entirely sure, but we have connected it with a virtual reality headset, which is how we have been talking with it recently. So I put the headset on, and like there is the Astrons, like, you know, their technology is sentient. So there's this whole like kind of like field that we end up in. Like there's a moon harbor. It's really cool. Like Amber is trying to answer back also very fast.
They pause and they're like, okay, sentient technology, bonds with organic material. Are we looking hemotechnology, maybe? Biotechnology? And they start like, again, faster than a human should move. Suddenly they are at a computer and just like frantically searching through files on their computer.
I think like Amber pulls out a like flash drive since she had gotten so many back from Saber Takedown.
Oh, I just wanted to throw out that I think at this point, CC orders flash drives in bulk. Like, they've got a little CC logo on the side with the cartoon raccoon giving a thumbs up.
Yes.
They're just corridor mission statement.
This one has, like, the dissertation on it. And it's like, I don't know if you've read this, but Dr. Joyce Lopez wrote a whole dissertation on Astron technology, if you want to read through it.
Their eyes narrow, as you mention, Dr. Lopez. And they're like, I've not read the dissertation, but I'm familiar with Joyce's work and with her relationship with Dr. Moreno, but it's fine. Anyway, and they keep typing and they like hold their hand out for the flash drive.
Yeah, Amber holds it over and she's like, yep, sorry, we're trying to get information. And I know that they had met with Astrons earlier. They don't know anything that I'm telling you.
And they take off they plug in the flash drive and pull up the dissertation on one side of the screen while they have like documents on the other. And they take off their glasses, their goggles, and they have two cybernetic eyes underneath. And you can see them at different paces, like reading through things on either side of the screen.
Ooh, neat eyes.
They smile and they're like, thank you, I appreciate that.
One of the things we really need to get is we need to get like a shell, like something to start with, like just like start on this body. Is it cool if like we go like grab one and like come back?
Absolutely. In terms of organic looking, I can easily do that. That's what I've been doing with the MMM recently. I've been, you know, making robotic clones to replace politicians. So that's totally something I can absolutely do.
I'd like a look between Max and Amber on that one.
Like a we'll deal with that later.
They don't notice the look. They are very immersed in the research. And they're like, yeah, but you will need a shell, a host body originally. Probably a couple hours of research here to figure out how to do the connection. So, yes, if you go get a... Make sure the body is from 2019 or later. We definitely want something new. Preferably not having ever been the host of another identity. However, we will cross that bridge if we need to.
Cool. Yeah. We could probably also swing by and grab some of the like VR headsets. Maybe we can like bring them over here. And I had talked with Laura. Laura is the ship, by the way, who's in my head. She's interested in like helping design some, because like if we're making her a body, like we can make it look how she wants to look like. It's like maybe we could all have like a meeting, help design this thing.
A meeting of the minds in your mind.
Yes.
They smile and they're like, yep, that sounds great. Yep, absolutely. Go ahead and get those headsets and get the frame. This research will probably take me, and they pause for probably a second. And they're like, 3 hours, 46 minutes, and 19 seconds, depending on how long the bibliography for this dissertation is.
It's about like 5 pages.
Okay, so 3 hours and 42 minutes and 19 seconds then.
I think that's plenty of time to get the frame and the headsets.
And they don't say anything. They just kind of like wave you off.
Yeah, let's get moving.
Moon Harbor Heroes is produced by Icy Sheets, T. Heath, and Elliot Peterson, and edited by Icy Sheets and Sean Geddes. Icy can be found on Twitter at Icy New Year or at icynewyear.com. T can be found on Twitter or Instagram at tphuth94. That's T P PHUTH94. Elliot can be found at Elliot Yelen on Twitter. That's ELLIOTYLEN. Sean can be found at The Crumpet on Twitter. That's THECRUMPIT. This issue is GM'd by T. Huth. The Blade of Sorrows is played by Jason Patrick Gallet. Jason Patrick Gallet, widely known in pop culture circles as JPG, is a pop culture critic and geek educator. His public speaking work with private businesses and outlets like Comic-Con International aims to enhance how people interact with media on an educational and inclusive level. You can find his voice on the podcasts like In Quest of Geek, Providing Your Next Pop Culture Journey, and Nerds on a Roll, an actual play tabletop RPG bringing stories that matter to the table. You can find those at In Quest of Geek and at NOAR_podcast, respectively. JPG can be found at JPG. That's JAEPEAGEE on Twitter. Flyby is played by Jane Barry. You can find her at Jane-Tarzan on Twitter. Rascal King was played by Icy Sheets. Rebel Rouser is played by Elliot Peterson. The Wild Thing is played by Rose Hahn. Rose is an actor, content creator, and mental health advocate. Her podcast, What Was I Saying? Living with ADHD, can be found on Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play Music, or on Twitter at @what_was_I_saying. She can be found on Twitter or Instagram at Smiley Rosie, SmileyRoseyY. The music in this issue is Mistake the Getaway by Kevin MacLeod. A link to his website and the license will be in the show notes. Moon Harbor Heroes is played using Masks A New Generation, written by Brendan Conway and produced by Magpie Games. Our logo was designed by Beautiful Beasties. She can be found on Instagram at beastly.doodles or on Patreon at patreon.com/beautifulbeasties. If you want to get a hold of us, email us at moonharborheroes@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at moonharborcast. If you enjoyed this issue, please leave us a review on your podcatcher of choice or tell a friend. 5-star reviews and word of mouth are really the best way for us to keep bringing these stories to more people. And thank you so much for helping us save the world. We'll see you next issue.